السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما. Juz number 10, we will complete it first and then inshallah we will move on to juz number 11. Ayah number 90. وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذَّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ. And those with excuses among the Bedouins came to be permitted in order to remain. And they who had lied to Allah and His Messenger sat at home. They will strike those who disbelieved among them a painful punishment. We learn that when the Prophet ﷺ went for the expedition of Tabuk, he made a general announcement that every person who was able had to participate in that expedition. So there were majority of the believers. What did they do? They prepared in order to go for this expedition. There were some other people who had genuine reasons because of which they were not able to go. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ seeking his permission in order to remain behind. And then we learned that there were some other people who came presenting false excuses to be allowed to stay behind. And then there was another category of people who did not even come to make an excuse. They just remain behind without any permission. So over here, all such people are being criticized who either presented false excuses or presented no excuse at all in order to remain behind. Allah warns, سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, that those who disbelieve among them will suffer from a painful punishment. How is this disbelief? Because Iman, it demands amal from us. It demands obedience and action from us. When a person believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what does he have to do? He has to follow his orders. So if a person says that he believes but he does not follow, then that is a form of disobedience, and that disobedience is a kind of disbelief. So over here, سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. There is not upon the weak, or upon the ill, or upon those who do not find anything to spend, any harm, any discomfort, when they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, a person with a genuine excuse, if he is not able to go along, and he sought permission to remain behind, then he is not sinful at all. There is not upon the doers of good any cause for blame, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Nor is there blame upon those who, when they came to you, that you might give them mounts, meaning a mount so that they could participate in this expedition. Because what prevented them from going forth with Rasulullah ﷺ was extreme poverty. Because the Sahaba, remember, they were all of different types. There were some who were financially very strong, and there were others who were financially very weak. So there were some who did have the means to participate in this expedition, and there were some others who could not even afford a camel, a horse. And that meant that journey of hundreds of kilometers they would have to take on foot. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ asking him if they could provide a mount to them. So what happened? You said to them, I can find nothing for you to ride upon. Meaning you had nothing to offer them. And when you had nothing to offer them, they turned back while their eyes overflowed with tears, out of grief that they could not find something to spend for the cause of Allah. Meaning when they realized they could not participate, it made them sad. There were some other people who came up with false excuses to remain behind. And there were some other people who were happy to be allowed to stay behind. And there were some other people who were desperate to go along with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they were not able to go, it made them so sad that they wept. They wept. Why? Because they were going to miss out on this reward. They were going to be of those who remain behind from this great opportunity. The cause for blame is only upon those who ask permission of you while they are rich. Meaning they have the means, they can go, yet they do not go. They are satisfied to be with those who stay behind. They are happy to stay behind. And Allah has sealed over their hearts, so they do not even know. Meaning they do not even understand what they are missing out on. And so they do not have any regrets. They do not even feel bad about what they're missing out on. So such people, Allah says they are blameworthy. So we see that sometimes a person is genuinely unable to go forth in the way of Allah. And sometimes a person, he doesn't have a genuine excuse and he stays behind. He stays behind, either by presenting false excuses or by not even showing up. Now what is it that matters? What matters is the state of the heart. It's not about whether we are able to go or not go. It's not about whether we are able to do something good or we're not able to do something good. Yes, that matters. But more than that, what matters is the state of our hearts. Because if a person is apparently giving charity, and this is a very noble deed, but if the intention is corrupt, then what will that charity bring him? It will bring him punishment. Then that is not a good deed. It's considered a sin. So over here we see what really matters is the state of our heart. That if we are doing something for the sake of Allah, what is our intention? And if we're not doing it, then again, what is our intention? And if we're staying behind from doing something good, then we really need to be honest with ourselves. That is this really a genuine excuse? Or is it just something that we have come up with in order to remain behind? Juz number 11.
يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ قُلْ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ قَدْ نَبَّأَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ وَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ They will make excuses to you when you have returned to them. Say, make no excuse. Never will we believe you. Allah has already informed us of your news. And Allah will observe your deeds. And so will His Messenger. Then you will be taken back to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. And He will inform you of what you used to do. They will swear by Allah to you, when you return to them, that you would leave them alone. So leave them alone. Indeed, they are evil, and their refuge is hell as recompense for what they had been earning. They swear to you so that you might be satisfied with them. But if you should be satisfied with them, indeed, Allah is not satisfied with a defiantly disobedient people. Here, some people are being mentioned who were going to come to the Prophet ﷺ after not having done their assigned work. Why were they going to come? In order to present excuses. And this happened when the Prophet ﷺ returned from the battle of Tabuk. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ went for this expedition, he went in order to fight the Romans. And the Prophet ﷺ remained at Tabuk for several days. However, the Romans did not show up. The enemy did not show up. So there was no real confrontation. There was no actual battle. And after a stay of several days, the Prophet ﷺ returned to Medina. So this entire journey was basically a test for the believers. This entire expedition was meant to reveal, was meant to expose the reality of the people. So over here, the Prophet ﷺ is warned that when you will return to Medina, what will happen? Some people are going to come to you. They are going to come presenting excuses. They are going to come swearing oaths to you. Why? In order to please you. But all of these excuses, Allah says, they are false. In the previous ayat, we learned that some people remain behind due to some genuine excuses. And in the previous ayat, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended them. Allah was pleased with them. But those who are mentioned over here, who stayed behind without a genuine reason, they are being criticized. The question is, who has a genuine reason? Who has a genuine excuse that allows him to stay behind from a cause such as this? Who? The person who is ill. Or the person who does not have the resources to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lack money, they do not have the health, or they have certain responsibilities preventing them from going out in the way of Allah. So these people, they are excused. And we learned that because they desire to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go out in the way of Allah, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will reward them. And yes, He did reward them. In hadith we learn, in Bukhari we learn, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he returned from the battle of Tabuk, and as he was approaching Medina, he said, "There are some people in Medina who were with you all the time. You did not travel any portion of the journey, nor did you cross any valley, but that they were with you." The Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, how could they be with us when they were in Medina?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Habasahumul udhr." Genuine excuse prevented them from being with you. Otherwise, their heart was with you. Their desire was there. And so, they will be rewarded even though they did not take a single step in this expedition. Why? Because of their intention, because of their genuine excuse, and because of their longing to be in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that those with genuine excuses were given reward even though they did not go along with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those with false excuses, they are declared fasiq over here. Now apparently the action was the same. Both were staying behind. You see, one group stayed behind with a genuine excuse. Another group stayed behind with no genuine excuse, with a false excuse. Apparently the action was the same, but the result is completely different. One is being called a muhsin, and the other is being called a fasiq. Why? Because of the difference in the state of the heart. So we have to see, if ever we have to give an excuse in order to stay behind from some noble cause, check, ask yourself honestly, is this excuse acceptable near Allah? We might be able to please and satisfy people, but is this acceptable near Allah? Is this really genuine? Because we see that there were about 80 hypocrites who were in Medina, even at this time in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And their names, the Prophet ﷺ was informed about them. And about them we learn, the Sahaba, they said that during the life of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some men among the hypocrites used to remain behind, meaning they would not accompany him in the expeditions. Whenever he went out for a ghazwa, they would be pleased to stay at home behind Allah's Messenger. And when Allah's Messenger returned, they would put forward false excuses and take oaths, wishing to be praised for what they had not done. So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He knows what our real state is. And He knows what the state of our heart is. You see, a person who is sincere to Allah, then he knows that no matter how much he's done, no matter how much he's done, it is not sufficient. So every chance to do good is a great opportunity. So she would not allow herself to remain behind. And if really there is a genuine reason preventing her, then she would not be rejoicing at that time. Rather, she would be sad that she's missing out on an opportunity. And because of her state of heart, Allah will reward her, even though she has not lifted a finger in that cause. الأعراب أشد كفرا ونفاقا وأجدر أن لا يعلموا حدود ما أنزل الله على رسوله والله عليم حكيم. The Bedouins are stronger in disbelief and hypocrisy. Why is their hypocrisy worse? Because the environment they live in is harsh overall. So that has an effect on their temperament also. And they are more likely to not know the limits of the laws that Allah has revealed to His Messenger. And because of this ignorance, they are more severe in their hypocrisy. So we learned that ignorance is something that leads to hypocrisy, that leads to foolishness. When a person does not understand, when a person does not know what he's missing out on, then what happens? He's very happy. And when a person understands what he's missing out on, then what happens? He's very, very sad. Because he missed out on that opportunity. So we see that the Bedouins, Allah says that they are stronger in their disbelief and hypocrisy. Why? Firstly, because of their environment. And secondly, because of their ignorance. Because they are far from the centers of knowledge. They did not stay in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah is knowing and wise. And among the Bedouins are some who consider what they spend as a loss and await for you turns of misfortune. Why? Because they do not understand. Upon them will be a misfortune of evil. And Allah is hearing and knowing. But they are not all the same. Among the Bedouins are some who believe in Allah and the last day and consider what they spend as means of nearness to Allah and of obtaining invocations of the Messenger. Meaning when they have to spend in charity, they like that. There are some who take spending in the way of Allah as a burden. And there are others who take that as a means of approaching nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they do that, Allah says unquestionably, it is a means of nearness for them. Allah will admit them to His mercy. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So here we see that sadaqah, charity, is a means of drawing close to Allah. So whenever a person wishes to be of the muqarrab servants of Allah, whenever you want to draw close to Allah, whenever you want to feel near to Allah, then what is the way that we are being taught in this ayah? Give sadaqah. Expecting the return from who? From Allah alone and nobody else. The fact is that when a person gives for Allah, his time, his ego, his money, his food, whatever he gives for the sake of Allah, then yes, this is something that will draw him close to Allah. In a hadith we learn that on the day of judgment, Allah will say to a person, O son of Adam, I fell ill and you did not visit me. The slave will say, O Lord, how could I have visited you when you are the Lord of the worlds? How could you be sick? Allah will say, did you not know that my servant so and so had fallen ill and you did not visit him? Had you visited him, you would have found me with him. O son of Adam, I was hungry, I asked you for food, and you did not feed me. The servant will say, O Lord, how could I have fed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? Allah will say, did you not know that my such and such servant asked you for food? He was needy of food, and you did not feed him. Had you fed him, you would have found me with him. What does this mean? That when a person does something for the sake of Allah, whether it is giving charity, or going to visit a sick person, feeding a hungry person, then in fact he is taking a step toward who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially the deed where you cannot expect any reward from the people. Because generally, what are those deeds that we like to do? Deeds which will be acknowledged by people, for which we will be thanked, for which we will be praised. And what happens when we know that we are not going to be praised, rather we are going to be criticized? We know that people are not going to be happy. They're still going to find something to be upset with us over. Then what happens? You remind yourself, no, I am doing this for Allah. I will bear the criticism. I will bear their behavior. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, when you go to visit a sick person and they give dua to you, they thank you for coming, then you feel like going and visiting them again and again. But when you go to visit a sick person whom you know that the moment they see you, they will begin complaining and they will be upset why you didn't call them earlier or why you didn't visit them sooner, then what happens? You hesitate going there. So why is it that you would go then? Why? To gain praise from them? No. To gain the approval of Allah. So this deed, will it not bring you closer to Allah? It will bring you closer to Allah. So Allah says unquestionably, it is going to be, إِنَّهَا قُرْبَةٌ لَّهُمْ. It is going to be a means of closeness for them. Closeness, nearness to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والسابقون الأولون and the first forerunners in the faith من المهاجرين والأنصار among the مهاجرين and the أنصار. Those who go first make it to the front. So they are the muqarrab servants of Allah. Being the first in doing good, it makes a person closer to Allah. So السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. Those who did hijrah first, those who helped the cause of Allah first. Allah calls them السابقون الأولون. والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. And those who followed them with good conduct. Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. That is the great attainment. This is true success. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that, O Abu Sa'id, whoever happily accepts Allah as his Lord, Islam as his religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his messenger, is necessarily entitled to enter paradise. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he wondered and he said, Ya Rasulullah, can you repeat that for me? Meaning you're saying that somebody is definitely going to Jannah. I only heard something about Iman. Did I miss out on something? Can you repeat that for me? So the Prophet ﷺ repeated it for him. What? That whoever happily accepts Allah as his Lord, Islam as his religion, and Muhammad ﷺ as his messenger, he is necessarily entitled to enter Jannah. Enter Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he repeated this, he added, he said, there is another act which elevates the position of a man in Jannah to a grade 100 higher. Meaning this is something that will admit him to Jannah. But if he does this one extra thing, this will elevate his ranks 100 ranks higher. It's like skipping, going high 100 levels. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was curious. He wondered who that would be. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, jihad in the way of Allah. Jihad in the way of Allah. Striving in the way of Allah. So over here in this ayah, who is mentioned? Those who believe. But in addition to that, they also strive in the way of Allah. They're doing something to show that the deen of Allah is important to them. So they're learning it, they're spreading it, they're defending it, they're supporting it with their money, with their time, with their effort, with their lives. So such people, their reward, their level in Jannah will be even higher than the rest of the believers. And among those around you of the Bedouins are hypocrites, and also from the people of Medina. They have become accustomed to hypocrisy. Meaning they have become experts in deception, in trickery, in lying, in swearing oaths. That whenever the believers have to go for an expedition, they know exactly how to get out of it. They know what kind of oaths to swear, what kind of excuses to present. مَرَضُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ. They have become accustomed to hypocrisy. They are so used to it that they don't even feel guilty about it anymore. You know, it's like if you stay behind a good cause once, then what happens? You feel bad. But then what happens? You stay behind the next day and the next day and the next day, then what happens? It just gets worse over time. Like for example, if a person is jobless for an entire month, he feels bad. He's trying actively to find some work somewhere, anywhere. But what happens? 1 month goes by, 3 months go by, 5 months go by, and if he does not apply actively, if he does not do anything to get a job, then what happens? He gets used to just staying at home. Then what happens? He begins to cut off his social circle because he feels shy of going around. So what happens? He gets so used to it in his shell that he doesn't even realize what he's missing out on. So over here, people who repeatedly, continuously stay behind from good causes, they are being criticized. Allah says, لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ. You do not know them, but we know them. We will punish them twice in this world. Then they will be returned to a great punishment. And then there are others who have acknowledged their sins. خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا. They had mixed a righteous deed with another that was bad. Perhaps Allah will turn to them in forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Then there is another group of people that is mentioned here. Those who have mixed some good deeds with bad deeds. And this is the reality of many of us. So on one hand, we should have hope of Allah's forgiveness because Allah says, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Hopefully, perhaps Allah will turn to them in forgiveness. He will accept their repentance. But on the other hand, they also have to do something. What is it that they have to do? خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Take, O Prophet, from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and cause them increase and invoke Allah's blessings upon them. When we feel like we have done something wrong, generally what do? We ask other people, please remember me in your du'as. Please pray for me. What do we see over here? That the Prophet ﷺ is asked to pray for them. But in addition, they also have to do something. What do they have to do? Give charity. Because charity, what does it do? It extinguishes the fire of sins that we have kindled for ourselves, that we have lit for ourselves. It also cools down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we have done something wrong, when we see that we are falling behind in doing good, then what is it that we need to do? Do something good in order to make up for what we missed out on. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Indeed, your invocations are reassurance for them. And Allah is hearing and knowing. Do they not know that it is Allah who accepts repentance from His servants and He receives charities? And that it is Allah who is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Meaning, why would they not repent to Allah? Why would they not do good in order to draw closer to Allah? When Allah accepts repentance of His servants, He accepts their good deeds. وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Because you see, when we're giving sadaqah, it seems like we're helping a human being. It seems like we're helping a worldly cause. But what do we see? When a person gives sadaqah, in reality, he is giving to who? Allah. He is benefiting himself. Because in reality, he's giving to Allah. وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah takes charities. Meaning that Allah will take it and Allah will make it grow. Allah will increase and multiply the reward. According to what? According to the level of our sincerity. According to the faith with which we gave that charity. And say, do as you will, for Allah will see your deeds. Meaning now what has happened in the past. What you need to worry about is your present state and your future state. Many times it happens that we keep dwelling over the mistakes that we have made in our past. What do we learn from these ayat? Move on from it. What has happened. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Be hopeful that Allah will forgive. Now do something good to make up for the wrong that was done in the past. And now worry about the actions that you're doing now. Worry about the actions that you will do in the future. Like for example, if a person has missed a prayer, then what happens? He begins to think, oh, I'm such a bad person. I don't think my prayer will benefit me at all. Why should I bother praying? No. Be hopeful that Allah will forgive. Make up for the missed prayers. Perform extra nawafil. Give sadaqah. And then worry about how you can fix your prayers now and in the future. And you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. And He will inform you of what you used to do. Because Allah will see your deeds and so will His Messenger and the believers. Allah will see your deeds. The Messenger will see your deeds. The believers will see your deeds. Meaning now people will witness your behavior. People will witness your actions. And even if you manage to please them, remember that ultimately the return is to Allah, who will inform you of the reality of your deeds, what they are worth. وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And there are others deferred until the command of Allah. Meaning their case is pending. Their case is pending. It hasn't been resolved yet. Why? Because it is up to Allah. Some people, because of the sincerity with which they have repented, the action that they have taken, what happens? Their repentance is accepted. Like for example, in a hadith we learn that if a person fixes his face, you know, he fixes his face towards Allah, directs his face to Allah, making dua, determined to not move until his dua is answered, then what happens? Either Allah will give him what he has asked for, or Allah will store it for him for later on. Likewise, we see that there were some Sahaba who did not go in this expedition, and they did not really have a genuine excuse. What happened? As soon as the Prophet ﷺ returned, they went to the masjid, they tied themselves up to the pillars of the masjid, and they said, we should only be let go when our tawbah is accepted by Allah. So you see, they took extreme measures to make up for the wrong that they had done. So what happened? Their tawbah was also accepted very soon. But then there were some others whose matter was deferred until later. Who were these people? These were three Sahaba. Three Sahaba, and Allah did not reveal their tawbah immediately. Allah says whether He will punish them or whether He will forgive them. It's up to Allah. And Allah is knowing and wise. Allah is knowing and wise. Meaning He knows what they have done and He is wise in what He has decided concerning them. So what do we see? That all of these different groups of people that are mentioned over here, what do we learn? That ultimately we can only be successful if our state of heart is sincere. If we are sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we are insincere to Allah, then it doesn't matter how happy people are with us. It doesn't matter how many stamps of approval they give to us. We will suffer if Allah is not happy with us. So what we need to be concerned about now and later is our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla.